This is Push Button Influence, where the world's leading influencers candidly share their exact strategies for maximizing reach, accelerating growth, and generating massive exposure, all by leveraging the power of new media. You can become the next Larry King, Oprah, or Howard Stern. All you need to do is broadcast your brilliance. Push Button Influence teaches you how. Here are your hosts, Alex Mondoshian and Steve Olscher.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to another edition here of Push Button Influence. Man, I'm excited for this and super excited. If you're listening to the podcast version, you probably have no idea what the heck I'm going to talk about here. But blab, got a little bit of buggy on us, but it's good now. And super awesome to have my co-host extraordinaire, Alex Mondoshian, sitting there on the other side. I think if I point that way, which is the opposite way of how I think I'm supposed to point, because then on the recording it goes the other way. There we go. That way over there. Exactly. So co-host extraordinaire, Alex Mondoshian in the house, along with the super unbelievable, incredible Mr. Joel Kamm. So thank you, gentlemen, for being here. Now, Joel, welcome
more
to Push Button Influence.
More edge.
You know what? Wrinkly? What? Which one did you want? Yeah, be more specific.
Perfect.
Yeah, you gotta be more specific. All right, so Joel, what we do here on Push Button Influence at the beginning of every show is we introduce a word, and Alex and I both have words, although I actually have two words today, so I kind of doubled up on it. But Alex, what is your word of the day?
Well, it's the word that I know what Joel is about. I met Joel first on stage at a big seminar years and years and years ago. We've been mutual mentors with each other. We've laughed together. I would say we have done some weeping together about our own personal journeys and processes through our personal life. And also, I've always acknowledged and admired the way he has changed his personality. He's all about personality. So his character remains the same, but his personality changes in all different ways. He has sold software to big companies. He has had buttons that had the sound of farting or passing gas if you're overseas.
Money!
And he's also had buttons that cause money. So he's very, very full of personality. So Joel, let's go to that question. How does your personality fit in to your brand as it's changed over the years?
That is a really great question. And I love that you're asking me something that I haven't been asked in 100 other, you know, podcasts. So thank you for that. I am my brand, right? We are our brand. And I think a large part of who we are stems from our God-given passions, our talents, and the skills and abilities that we develop throughout our experiences. But our personality is kind of like the core. It's our soul. It's that thing that drives us and makes us part of a big part of who we are. And so for me, showing up in business and social media and all the things I do is really just about being true to myself and that personality and not being afraid to accept that, hey, this is who I am, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and there's plenty of all of it. Accepting those things and not being afraid to take risks and put it out there and see where the dice fall.
Yep. And having known you now for a few years, I know that there is more good than bad or ugly with you there, Mr. Joel Kamm. So here is my word, and I cheated a little bit here, Alex, because I'm actually doing, I doubled up on it here, man. So we got two words, and if you can read it here, the words are early and adopter, which appropriately enough, it's exactly what we are here on this Blab platform, since it literally still says beta. Now, you are someone who has been an early adopter of technology you were literally on the front lines, man. If it was Normandy, you'd have holes in you. But you have literally been on the front lines for God knows how long of technology. Can you talk to how do you see this stuff before anyone else? So talk a little bit about your intuition and how intuition plays into some of the technology success that you've had, because you've gotten in pretty early on some things.
Yeah, well, I mean, and actually, if we're gonna be accurate, the word is pioneer, which is the one that comes before the early adopter, the one that's not afraid to dip their toe in the water when nobody else has any idea that the thing even exists. Mm. Like we are moving right now. You're still pioneering Blab. You guys doing this show, because most of the world has no idea this exists. So we're still in the pioneer phase, and I believe by the end of this year we'll have moved into early adopter. You know, for me, it's curiosity. I've always been a geek. I had a computer when I was 16 years old when the TRS-80 first came out.
Wow.
So I'm really dating myself here. And it was just, I was drawn to it. And I've just kind of followed that curiosity of what interests me, because I think it's cool and because I want to play. I like to characterize myself as a guy with a pail and a shovel looking for a sandbox to play in. You know, what can I build here? What can I make? How can I bring value? How can I inspire? How can I have fun? And when I really, really get excited about something, that's an indicator to me that it's going to be a big thing, which is how I feel about live video.
Mm. Alex, let me add just one more thing to that, if I can, which is sometimes when I have that feeling, it's kind of like a gut kind of thing where like you kind of just get like this almost like a nervousness and an excitement, that sort of thing. Do you literally get that sort of physiological response in that same way when you feel like, man, this is something I got to pursue? Did I lose you?
Can you hear me, Steve?
I can hear you, Mr. Mandosian, perfectly well.
That was a question, Alex.
Oh, no one heard the question. All right, so let's try that again. What was the – that was actually to you, Joel.
So, oh, I thought it was to Alex.
No, that was totally to you, Joel Com. Do you need me to repeat the question? The question – forget it. Alex, go ahead, man.
I'd like to buy a vowel, please.
Okay, here's who I want to talk about, okay? Usually we sidestep these folks like they don't exist, but they're out there. Howard Stern has them. J.K. Rowling has them. Even Oprah has them. There's some folks who have more of them. If you polarize your audience, you have a lot of them. But they're just as valuable as their opposing party. And the group I'm talking about are the haters, the people who just hate you. Now, we can call them loathers. They're the opposite of the people who love you, but they do have high value because they care so much about you. They are willing to offend you publicly and smear you publicly. And they're going out of the way and wasting their time, you know, saying bad things about you. So how do you view those haters when they show up? Because I know they've showed up many times for you. You've talked about it on stage.
Yeah, I you know, I'm trying to think of the last time I had an encounter with a hater. I think maybe I'm just oblivious to them because I think I try to think the best of everybody until they give me a reason not to. And if I've got some haters out there, then if I'm not aware of them, it's just because I'm oblivious. But look, you know, Jay Bear says it, and it's just quoted here in the chat room, hug your haters. You know, these people who come out against you, there's usually a need there. It's like, why the hostility? Why the anger? What's going on there internally? And, you know, recognizing that it's really about them and not about you. Because most people, even the people that are your friends that think they know you, the acquaintances, don't really know you. They know the perception of who they think you are, or who the mold that they want you to fit in. But, you know, our real true selves is only truly known to those that are closest to us, that experience us on a daily basis through conflict, through the regular issues of life, not from the stage, not from our books, not from our podcasts. And we can be as transparent as we can, you know, from here to here. But even then, there's only so much you can really see unless you really get to know a person. So I look at that and I just kind of shrug it off and go, not my circus, not my monkey.
Yeah, and I'll tell you.
This is my monkey right here.
I see that.
Please don't show us the other monkey, Joel, please.
That's actually my word.
All right, great. Thank you. Just a little add-on to that. When I look at what a hater would be, or let's call them a problem child, because sometimes they are, we've had some technical issues with Blab on this episode leading into it. they could be evangelists. They could be raving fans of Blab. And then with one issue, when all this technology has to have so much to be, you know, working for it to even work, this is a miracle what we're doing right now. But one thing goes wrong and all of a sudden, bam, they don't believe in Blab, or bam, they don't believe in Hangouts, or bam, they don't believe in someone because they fell from grace once. And all of a sudden, you know, that they were perfect up until, you know, that one point. So has that ever impacted the way you do business? Do you ever acknowledge those folks publicly, or just
You know, if somebody has a legitimate gripe, legitimate question, legitimate issue, then I try to address it. If I address it to the best of my ability and they still come back and are antagonistic, I'm done. There's nothing else to say, because now you just want to fight with me and you want to argue. And guess what? I'm in control of me. I have healthy boundaries, and you don't get to make me dance to your music. And that frustrates me even more.
You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Point well taken. So let's talk for a second about this platform and social media in general. First and foremost, do you consider live streaming to be a part of social media, or is it a separate animal altogether?
So live video, which is the term that we're now moving towards, partially because Michael Stelzner insisted on it, and it's actually sticking. You know, we were calling it live mobile streaming video apps, you know, and it's like there's all these different words for it, and I'm going to settle on live video with it. I think that live video is the most social of the social medias. I think it takes the components of social, the online interaction and engagement, and bringing the real time face to face to it makes it the closest we could possibly get to being there. Like, unless I was in the same room with you guys, and you're not even in the same room, right? You know, you're in different locations, somewhere in California. He's right there. We're right here. We're face to face and we're having a conversation. And that's what social was always intended to do, is to create a venue to encourage and spark and enhance conversation. Now we're doing it, and we're doing it in a way that hasn't been done before effectively. I like to look at Blab and I categorize it as what Google Hangouts wanted to be, but didn't quite pull it together.
Gotcha. And so to that end, you had Periscope, you had Meerkat come out right around the same time. Now, you got on the Meerkat bandwagon as an evangelist originally, correct?
Well, I was a user. So I've actually been live streaming, doing live video since 2008. When Ustream.tv came out, I was doing the Joel Comm show from our offices every week. And we had a big monitor in front of our desk in the studio, and people would chat just like they are here, and we would engage with them. But what happened, and then there's been a couple apps before that, apps like Hangwith, you know, have been out that let you do live video for the last really almost 3 years now. But what happened is something happened in February of last year when Meerkat hit, and it was the perfect storm of mobile being mass adopted, where everybody had the devices and the bandwidth being big enough to allow live video and the apps being simple enough so that anybody can use them. And so right before South by Southwest last year, I picked up on Meerkat. It was at South by that it really blew up. And then a couple months later, we had Periscope. And the rest is history.
Yep. Alex?
I want to talk about apps, because that's one area where you really are ready, fire, aim. We've done some mentoring around it. We've also talked about how to monetize it. When it comes down to apps, it's about progress, not perfection. If you're going to be a perfectionist, get out of the technology business altogether. It's just not going to work. You're going to die of a nervous breakdown. So let's go back to developing an app, and then I'm going to ask you what some of your favorite apps are. My favorite one that you've referred to me is WordSwag. Just love it. Love how it's just so simple and easy. But just if you're an app developer, okay, what are some of the mindset or inner game pieces that are necessary to make some money from it, because you've been down that road? And then share a few apps that you really are excited about and people love hearing those, because they go right away and get them. And that way it's not a commercial from us. It's just your recommendation.
Yeah, well, yes, word swag is still a favorite of mine, but right now I'm going to talk about two apps in particular, and one of them might surprise you. It's Snapchat. Snapchat has become, in the last 3 months, my go-to app and my go-to social network. It is the thing I use first thing in the morning, and before I go to sleep, it is the last thing that I check. It took me a little bit to understand it. There was a little bit of a learning curve and getting what it really is, because for the last year and a half, I thought it was all for kids and perverts. Well, I'm sure that both of them are still there, but I'm not encountering them, and I'm having an incredible time creating content and interacting with others on Snapchat. So that's number one. If anybody wants to follow me there, at Joel Kumm. The other one is one I just encountered yesterday, and I don't know if it's going to stick or not, but Brian Fanzo talked about an app called Anchor. Have you guys heard of it yet?
Negative. What is it?
So Anchor, it's an iOS-only app, and I actually did a live stream about it today. You can find it in the App Store. The easiest way for me to categorize it is micro-podcasting. So Twitter was micro-blogging. You had 140 characters initially to share your thoughts. Anchor is micro-audio. Really easy to use, really easy to follow, people to listen to audio clips of up to 2 minutes. So you can record up to 2 minutes, and you can reply, and you can comment on them, but it's all audio, and it's really interesting. So when you guys get a chance to get on it, jump on the Anchor, follow myself and these fellows as well, and I think that both of you being broadcasters, it's going to connect with you as well. Now, whether or not it's got legs, I'm not sure. There's some issues with it in terms of how much audio can you consume. Right? Because we read much faster than we listen. And there's some issues involving that. But as a content creator, I looked at this and I thought, what if I put music on at the same time that I'm doing my my anchor? They call it a wave. And I put it in a format. So I called it the Anchor Minute with Joel Kumm. And I put it out there, and the response has been great. I'm like, I could do that for a minute of the day.
Yeah. So very, that. Very interesting. Yeah. Oh, super cool, man. And I think it brings up a really, really good point here, which is overwhelm. I mean, there are just so many options, right? I mean, and you were on Meerkat, right? And I've seen you do Periscope. I've seen you do other things as well. I mean, you could spend all day long just trying to provide and fulfill content and requests and whatnot on all of the different media. How do you suggest that someone pick a platform or platforms and run with it? How do people make that choice?
Well, you know, for me, I've got to be interested in it. I have to like it. If I don't like it, I'm not going to use it. You know, listen, I know, Alex, you've been a huge proponent of Google Hangouts and have used it for many webinars, and I totally get that. It connected with you, and you were able to use it to connect with others. I never cared for it, so I don't know that I ever put on a webinar. I think I did it with others, but I stuck with GoToMeeting. But when I saw Blab, I felt like I'm home. I felt like they made this platform just for me. You guys can play here too. I'm good with it. It's a big sandbox. But when I saw it, I felt like, for me, it really connected. For me, Periscope, Meerkat really connected. And it's just where my own personal interest and curiosity lies. And if it's not fun for you, then odds are you're not going to create very compelling content or really connect with people. Then it's not for you. Don't use it. Find out what is, and invest your time and efforts in that.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Alex. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I like the speechless passing of the torch. So, this is a thank you. Give me a high five. All right. Thank you. Just as a disclaimer, and many people watching, you know, our followers of mine, they go, you mean Google Hangouts? They're not relevant anymore? Or that was even a question that came in. Let me cut straight to the chase of my experience of what the preferred platform is to broadcast your brilliance. Because that's what Push Button Influence is all about, having a preferred platform. Now, I'll tell you why Blab is not my preferred. I use it every Wednesday, but the reason why it's not my preferred is because this four up scenario doesn't allow me to repurpose exactly the way I want. Because there's no cameraman, because there's no lower third, and I don't look like a citizen reporter, because its purpose is different than Google Hangouts. Okay. I can syndicate, I can simulcast, I can do all that stuff, I can repurpose, I can podcast off of it, but it is missing a few things that I need as a virtual presenter that Google Hangouts has. Now, webinar, go to a meeting or go to webinar or whatever, all the other webinars, this, that, they're not connected to social media or new media. They're kind of like a silo, like a teleseminar bridge line. So that's why I choose, you know, Hangouts, but it doesn't mean it's better or worse.
It's different.
It's different. Right? Now you choose Blab. And I remember when you said, you got to try Blab, you got to try. And my first response was, this was maybe 6 months ago.
It was several months ago. Yeah.
Yeah. And my first response was, you know, I'm up to my ears with, you know, live, you know, streaming and live cast and all that crap. And then I went back, and when Steve and I started talking, what you said resonated more with me, but my initial response was being firm on Google Hangouts, not because it's the best, but because it's my preferred. So the number one thing I would reach out to all of you is, don't let what we're saying sway you. What is your purpose? Joel's purpose, Blab is really, really good. For his purpose, Word Swag is really, really good, right? For my purpose too. So what is your purpose? And from that intention, you know, move on to the next, you know, decision. Now, buggy technology, it's annoying. We had it before we just started. We were going to make a decision. If we got disconnected, you know, that was going to be it. So far, knock on plastic, knock on mice, you know, we're doing good so far. But, you know, you're in tech and you've been a pioneer, not just an early adopter. So how do you deal with bugs? Because it's a feature. It's just a feature of the technology. So how do you deal with it without getting?
Yeah, I mean, I've been dealing with it my whole life. Whenever you're going to pioneer into new technologies, you have to expect that it's not going to work perfectly. Now, you know, after it's been out there for some time, then yeah, we have expectations that it's going to work better. But I've had, you know, even 21 years into having websites now, and I still have stuff go down. I still have hacks, you know, happen, and things are unexpected. And I used to stress about it a lot more and panic, and oh, my site's done, I'm losing money. Now I'm like, let me know when you got that fixed, because it's not worth it. It's just not. So understand that this is complicated stuff. Right. The fact that we're able to do this right now, I have great admiration for Khan and his team of developers over there that even can make this happen. I'm going to sit here and go, what's wrong with you guys? Fix this. No, I couldn't. You could give me centuries to figure out how to do this. And the only way I'd figure it out is to pay somebody. I could never do this. So I've just learned to be patient. And plus, you know, the older I get, the less I sweat the small stuff, and it's pretty much all small stuff.
There's a book, it's some sort of title about small stuff. That's brilliant there, Joel. Nice. So question here is, as we look at these various platforms, one of the beautiful things of technology catching up with our desire to broadcast is that the barriers to entry have been, you know, pretty much eliminated. Anyone can have their own show, which is awesome for broadcasting your brilliance. It's a double-edged sword, because now anyone can broadcast whatever they want whenever they want it, right? So can you speak a little bit to how people can think about content so that they're creating content that people actually want to consume and engage in? Because like Alex says, I mean, really, to broadcast your brilliance, you need a mouth and a microphone. and most everybody's got the former. Most people now have the latter. So can you talk about content as it relates to everyone now being able to get in the game?
And we need to get you one of these. They're $50 at Amazon. It's an ATR 2100. Oh, there you go. I just saw your headset on the your earbuds. That's why. Got you're it. Good.
All good.
Sounds good, doesn't it? So, you know, for me, content comes at excellent. Content comes in three forms. There's always three things I aspire to do when I am speaking from the platform, on a podcast, writing, whatever. And it could be any variation of these. To educate, I want to teach people something. I want to drop some knowledge. Here's something you can use and apply. I want to inspire because I believe that you have to touch emotionally. You have to touch the heart before anybody's going to even remember what you put into their head. And thirdly, and perhaps most importantly, I want to entertain. And it's not like I want to, you know, get up my tap dancing shoes and, you know, and do a magic trick. It's like, I just want to have fun doing what I'm doing, because if I'm going to have fun, then I know that people are going to be engaged and consume the content. So I think whatever it is you're going to do, for some people, it's just entertainment. There's people, you know, Yo Pickles runs a Blab, Blab's Got Talent, and it's all about people coming on and singing and doing their, you know, talent act. Pure entertainment, pure fun. There's others that come on and they do inspirational, motivational blabs. And there's others that come on, it's purely knowledge. Mine is a mishmash, but whatever your thing is, make sure you're delivering in one of those forms. And it's unfortunate that the entertainment option lends itself also to the TMZ type of content. And we've actually seen some of that here on Blab, and I'm not going to name his name, but somebody who shouldn't be getting attention is getting a crap ton of attention, probably responsible for breaking Blab a lot of times because of the mentality of the voyeuristic mentality that we have, you know, just in our culture. But I, you know, I think that's an answer to your question. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, let's go to content too. For me, content, for me, changes the way people think, feel, and do things on the topic that we're speaking of. And a TED speech, you know, those great jaw-dropping, inspiring speeches, they change the way people think and feel. But the challenge I have with a TED speech, and I was on the steering committee for here in TEDx in Marin, they don't change the way people do things. They don't have a call to action. Whereas in direct response and in internet marketing, we change the way people do certain things. So the question to you, Joel, because I've seen you do it a lot, how personal should you get with your tribe so that you get them to change the way they think, feel, and do certain things just to get to their heart? I've seen you go all over. You've seen me do it as well. But how personal is personal where there's a border and you're not willing to go any further?
Yeah, I think personal is real important. You know, there's nothing to hide, right? I feel like when people see that you're transparent and you're authentic and this is who you really are, they go, okay, this guy has done this, 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 and this, and yet he comes off like, you know, a family member or a neighbor that I can totally relate to. And that gives them inspiration, motivation. Is basically my approach is, hey, I'm a goof, and if I can do this, you can do this too. However, I think personal boundaries are also very healthy. And, you know, in our, we have certain circles of relationship levels, right? The inner circle, the people that are closest to you, your family, your spouse, your kids, they're going to know all the stuff, right? And they get to come into places that others do not. And then you've got your close friends, and then you've got your associates, and then you've got the public. And so there's things, you know, about my personal life that you'll never see me posting on social media, because I'm posting to an entire audience of all this group of people. I go public with my posts, and I like to have a certain degree of control over saying, this is mine. For example, last fall, I took 18 days offline. I unplugged completely. No email except for an address that my VA forwarded only important emails to me, which is, read between the lines, those that concern money. And I unplugged from Facebook. I unplugged from Twitter. I did no live streams. I did nothing. I went somewhere by myself. I disappeared for 18 days, told nobody where I was going, only a few close friends. To this day, only a few people know where I went and what I did. And that's, to me, that's special because that's mine. You don't get that. And I think everybody should have that space.
Yeah, awesome. All right. If you're just joining us here live on Blab, welcome, as we are talking to the one and only Joel Comm here on Push Button Influence. If you are listening to the podcast version, join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, because one of the beautiful things about joining us live on blab.im is that you get to ask your questions and get feedback on topics and things that are important to you. So that is what we are going to encourage those that are here right now to begin thinking about, which are their questions. And you're going to use /Q before your question in the chat box there. And then when you hit return, it will post in the queue for us and we will get to your questions in the green room, which is the bonus here of joining us live, is you get to be in the green room with us before and in the green room with us after. So do try to join us live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific. Now, Joel,
is more like a light camel color. It's not green.
Yeah. All right. Well, and mine is more sort of push button influence blue. I never actually noticed that, Alex, behind me there.
Next to Alex, though. Alex has like a bamboo plant over there or something that's kind of greenish. So
yeah, it is. That would be our green room right there. Okay, so let's ask this question, which I know a lot of people have a concern about, and I think you may have alluded to it earlier, though I'm not bright enough to read between those lines. But with new technology and getting it on the map in terms of the mainstream, I mean, you can think back to the VHS and the DVD and so on. You know the industry that put those technologies on the map, which begins with a P and there's an O and R and then an N at the end. Is that something we need to be concerned about, both for just general live broadcast? And then what about sort of the gatekeeper in terms of what's going to happen on that front if kids can come on to Blab or Periscope or Meerkat and they start seeing things that they shouldn't see until they're much, much older?
Well, that's already been happening for years. And to me, you know, it's really hard to legislate morality. And as much as I am very much opposed to any child, even teenagers, being exposed to that, the responsibility becomes the parents. And I think we've got a real failure in the way many parents are incredibly permissive, giving their kids devices when they're very young and allowing them to do whatever they want without setting boundaries. You know, we set some really great boundaries with our kids. Now they're young adults, 24 and 21. They've grown up to be fantastic people. We monitored what they were doing. We monitored their time online and on the internet. And of course, they didn't have the apps when they were younger, which makes the job and the responsibility of parents even more important. Parents, you cannot be lazy. You have to know what your kids are doing, and you not only you have the responsibility of limiting what they're doing and determining which apps they can and cannot use and finding out what kind of trouble they could potentially get in. There's nothing that's going to stop the porn industry from doing what they're doing, and they're going to be leading the way in the new technologies like virtual reality. It's going to get pretty crazy. So parents, do your jobs, because your kids are only kids for a certain period of time. And once that innocence is gone, it's gone forever.
Amen. Alex? Uh-oh. Muted. There we go.
I'm unmuted.
So let's speechless.
That happens often. So what's the future? We have a lot of questions. So this is a good prediction point in the Blab conversation. What's the future of live streaming? I like live streaming instead of video or audio or whatever else. So just assuming we call it live streaming. Right now we're live, we're streaming, and it's in either audio or video, and sometimes it's both. Where do you see us ending up, Joel, 3 years from now, which is like 21 years in Earth years?
Well, this is it. We are arriving with Periscope, with Blab, with Facebook Live, with the Periscope integration on Twitter. We are finally at that place where on-demand video, which we have been trained as consumers to consume via Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, what we want, when we want it. You know, it was DVRs before. I don't know about you, but I've canceled cable. I canceled it a couple of years ago. The only cable I have running in here is a very thick internet pipe that gives me 100 megabytes per second. Like, it's awesome. But no TV, don't need a network television here because we want to watch what we want to watch when we want to watch it. Here's what blows me away, that there is a room full of people that are here right now watching us live. There are, I don't even know how many hundreds of thousands or millions of people around the world that are watching some stream on Periscope or some other live video platform, choosing that as not only as opposed to network television or cable television, but instead of Netflix, instead of Amazon, instead of Hulu, they're choosing this. People want to watch what they want to watch when they want to watch it. And the content is going to rise to the top. So what you're doing, the value you're bringing, you guys have a show. There's going to be people that come and go and start, you know, launching a Periscope, and they're not going to have content and nobody's going to want to watch it. But those that are creating are going to be the leaders. So if you imagine getting into YouTube in 2006 and posting videos and then becoming a YouTube star by 2009 or 2010, this is where we are with live streaming, is the stars are being created even as we speak. And tomorrow, somebody's going to come online and do live video for the first time. And in a year or two, they're going to have built up this following and they're going to be known for whatever that content is that they're delivering. And that is when mass adoption is going to start happening. If we are at pioneer phase right now, and I believe 2016 is where we make the transition to early adopter, that still gives us a couple more years, even in internet years, before we start seeing the masses come in. And that's why I like to get in early and become ensconced, positioned, because when the masses come, who are they going to look to? The tribe that's here.
Yeah.
Steve, let me ask you that question. What do you think? We got Joel, and it's pretty accurate, I think. But
yeah, my opinion is there has to be a gamification piece, right? I mean, one of the things that I like about Periscope is the fact that at least there is some sort of measurement. Now, we can say it's right, we can say it's wrong. It's an argument for another day. But when you see someone who has X number of followers and X number of hearts, you can kind of deduct, well, okay, this person probably has been on for a while. They must be pretty good. I mean, there's an expression that the masses are the asses. So, I mean, we don't have to get into, you know, a debate around that. But if that many people are hearting what they're doing, then, you know, maybe they actually are pretty good. But here on Blab, it's interesting because, you know, like the props. I mean, like, give Joel some props, right? I'm like, click on the screen, you know, get those hands going, right? And like, you know, you've got the bar set pretty high here, man. We had Johnny Lee Dumas on. He got 125,000 props. The bar's kind of high right now, but they don't go anywhere. So it's not like it goes into your account so that Joel Com on Blab has, you know, 28 million props, right? Or something, so that there's a ranking. I guess, Alex, in answer to your question, I believe that the future of this medium, if you will, is going to be largely dependent on figuring out how to separate the good from the bad. And this is what talks, you know, that's, we talked about a barrier to entry earlier. And I think that is one of the ways to see if someone is good and legit or if they're not.
I think Joel remembers Instant Video Generator. We, before YouTube, we were on video through the net, thanks to the genius of Rick Raddatz. And of course, Armin Morin was the third partner. I think where it's going, and nobody asked my opinion, but I'm going to give it anyway. I think the where it's going is we're going to get more aggregated platform-based live stream. What does that mean? That's the best words I can think of, what Blab is and what Periscope is. See, Google doesn't really do it well with G Plus and with Hangouts, but Blab, man, the people in this Blab can bring people on. That is massive. You can do it through Twitter and you can do it through Facebook. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. And the reason that's so exciting is once someone has good content or strikes a nerve, then you can have instant nicheification where you have an instant celebrity like a Bieber or, you know, someone on YouTube that all of a sudden became a hit, and it's not just going to be led to chance. That's the direction it's going.
Yeah.
And I think in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to see more platforms like Blab where you have millions of people and you can pull them in to the chat and to the streaming video or audio.
Yeah. All right, Joel, couple more questions here, and then out of respect for your time, we're going to drop into the green room so that all of our wonderful people who are with us can ask you their questions. One more thing that I have to ask you here before we go into that green room is, can you talk a little bit about this word, which is the word pivot? Because that is something that you have been able. Yeah, thank you for doing that. And for those who are listening to the podcast, you have no idea what we're talking about, but everybody's turning around here. So talk about pivoting, because that's something that you have been able to do throughout your career. When do you know when it's time to cut the rope and pivot into something else?
Well, usually the signs are there, right? That, you know, God in his way, you know, says, stop that, you know, usually the doors close on an opportunity. And if I'm, you know, not half thick in the skull, I get the message. And I've actually, you know, I've been looking for what is that next big thing. You know, since I came off my sabbatical a couple of years ago, after letting go of my entire staff of 38 people over the period of a year or so, I went on a 2-year sabbatical, pulled away, sold off some of my properties. And Steve, your event was one of the first ones that I spoke at it again when I came off that sabbatical. I've been dabbling in a lot of different arenas. I've been writing books. I've been helping others write books and put a couple products out there, but I had not found that thing that I was passionate about. And I've got to tell you that when this live streaming and the app showed up, I got excited. When Blab showed up, I got excited. I started creating content. So the pivot happened naturally just by following my curiosity. And I'll say this, I have not been this excited and so certain about the future of a technology since I developed my first iPhone app in 2008. And I knew then that iPhone apps were going to be big. And I'm telling you right now that live video, whether it's Blab, Periscope, Facebook Live, or even Snapchat, which I'm calling live because it feels live to me, the masses are going to come to it, and I want to be there when they do.
Yep, awesome. All right, so Alex, you want to wrap things up here on the podcast version? One more question?
Yeah, the question is, you've reinvented yourself several times, Joel. What direction are you physically going with business, and what's going to be Joel's brand 2016 and beyond?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting because I tend to not think, okay, where can I go and make some money? I look at what I'm interested in, and then one day I wake up, usually because a friend says, you know, everybody wants to know how you're doing this. Can you share it with us? It's what happened with AdSense. It's what happened with apps. It's what happened with selling websites. It's what happened with, you know, producing video. And I got asked to do the opening keynote at Periscope Summit last month in San Francisco. I'm doing the keynote panel on live video at Social Media Marketing World. And then I'm immediately doing another session just on Blab. Live video is my thing. And I'm actually launching a product because I finally got it through my thick skull. This is what people want. On March 8th, we're going to be launching the Live Video Revolution, which is going to be training about all these platforms, how to create shows, how to get an audience, how to market. And I'm super excited about it. And clearly, I'm going to be camping out here for some time.
Terrific. All right. So here's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to give you, those who have joined us live here on blab.am, an opportunity to ask Joel your question. So this would be the opportunity to use /Q at the front of your question and then hit return there in the chat box. And we will get to your questions in just a few moments. So don't go away after this fancy exit music that we are going to play here. But I can tell you that from my perspective, you know, having seen you do what you've done now over the years, man, it's an honor and a privilege to have you here on the show. Knowing how busy you are. So join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific. Next week, we've got Ocean Robbins. If you don't know Ocean, check out The Food Revolution. He's doing some pretty amazing things there. We've got James Schramko coming up, as well as many, many others here on Push Button Influence. So Alex Mandogian and my co-host extraordinaire. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I am Steve Ulsher. And for Joel Kamm, we will talk to you guys next time on Push Button Influence.
You just learned how to broadcast your brilliance. Tune in live to blab.im, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, as the world's leading influencers share their proven strategies for leveraging the power of new media. For more information about your hosts, Alex Mandoshian and Steve Ulscher, to claim your free surprise gift, and to access every episode of Push Button Influence, visit pushbuttoninfluence.com.